If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love that is, that we are all each an embodiment of. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. So, if you're ready to get out of the closet and to manifest in your true being, this is the show for you, and this is your opportunity to step more fully into that. So let's take a deep breath together and call ourselves forward into the light of our divine presence and inhabit that presence. It's who and what you are, unadorned. Take another deep breath. And just allow that presence, that centered, serene presence that is you as a state of consciousness, unlimited, omnipresent, all-knowing, and absolutely identical to your source. This evening, our seminar topic is dissolving our veils of inadequacy and limitation, recognizing our innate God force. Recognizing our innate God force, a divine power that we have tapped into each time we have had to face some great challenge. So, how are you doing with all these energy downloads and upgrades, the cellular regeneration that many say is taking place? Are you moving right along with it, like a skilled white water rafter? Or are you feeling more like a disassembled car with its parts scattered all over the place? Some of you are laughing. So maybe a little bit of both, huh? Well, good. And maybe you don't have a clue what's going on, and that's better still. If you don't think you know what's going on, you're giving something miraculous more wiggle room to operate through your life. So let me ask you a question and be honest in answering, because you're only answering to yourself. Have you ever known what was really going on? Have you ever known what was really going on? Apart, you know, from what you've been told by others, learned in school, or adopted as a belief system. You may need to take some time to really consider this. Perhaps reviewing your life up to now and its overall trends and themes. But where are you now, right now? Everything that has transpired to this moment has led you to this present moment and where you are today. You're alive, you're breathing. Well, you're doing just fine. You've survived. You've made it through whatever it's been. Even though you never really knew what was going on. So examine another thing, if you will. How something, some force arose within you beyond your ability and knowing that enabled you to meet and move through each challenge as it arose. You know, we've heard the stories of supernatural strength enabling a parent to lift a car off of their child trapped beneath. There have been many, many stories of where various people have risen above every form of limitation to rescue, to do some heroic deed, to accomplish some heroic feat that of their own human strength would have been impossible. So the point here is that some innate power always arises from within us, sufficient to cope with any event and challenge. So review your life, if you wish, to recall those moments when an inner power and knowing took over and guided you. Those moments stay etched in memory, but they need to be recalled each time we fear we won't be able to cope with something. So often we try to cope with something that hasn't yet manifested. And the copability and the event come together, just like a problem and its solution come as both sides of one coin. So we create unnecessary anxiety and agitation when we try to manage or control or manipulate a future that is not present, that doesn't exist. It's interesting, in A Course in Miracles, Jesus says that whenever we think of the future, actually the mind is blank. So of course we're going to feel frustrated, aren't we? So pay attention to each situation in which you find yourself so that you're fully present with it at the time. And be aware of how there is an innate power, an innate knowing that guides you within that very situation, if you can keep your mind still. If it's all agitated, it's very difficult to discern that subtle voice of the inner self that serves as our guide. You may still experience that supernatural power, because it transcends our human limitations or believed limitations. But you won't have the joy of being consciously in your presence. Sense your presence and the power of it when your mind is still, and you're not running some emotional drama. I remember when I was baptized years ago, my teacher said that the moment that you go under the baptismal water, you have a sense of your being as a soul. And so I was very attentive to that experience of being under the water. And in that instant, I felt this enormous power to live, the very power of life that is my own being was very palpable. I could feel it. And I never forgot that sensation. It's like, wow, that power of indwelling life is inexhaustible and it's immortal. But the lower self, when it goes under the water, let's say the basic self or the physical elemental, interprets that being held under water, even though it's just a second or two, interprets that as a threat to its viability. And that's why that tremendous sense of life, life force, will to live, can be discerned at that moment. Those of you who have had a near-death experience, or perhaps an almost drowning experience, know what I'm talking about. Because there's something that arises that transcends everything we think we know or imagine we know and takes over in spite of our fear, in spite of everything else. Something within takes over. And you can rely on that 100%. Because most of the time we're upset because we don't know how to do or handle or manage something whose time has not come to be managed. I'm reminded of a funny joke just before I went on the air. I was laughing to myself. And the story is, there's a woman that was being chased in her dreams by a bear. And she's running and running and running, and the bear is chasing and chasing and chasing. And finally, the bear has her backed up against the canyon wall, and there's nowhere she can go. And she cries out, "I don't know what to do. What am I to do now?" And the bear says, "I don't know, lady. It's your dream." So, I find that extremely funny. Because, you see, the truth of it is, that we're making it up as we go along. That's why nobody really knows what's going on, because we're doing ad lib, we're doing improv. You know, it's improvisation. We're winging it. We're acting as if we know what's going on, as if we are in, you know, full control, because that's cool, right? Every egocentric person thinks they're tremendously cool, and they know exactly what's going on, and they'll convince you of that. You know, the ego is so clever, it has a million different explanations about how the impossible came to be, and how that which doesn't exist is real. So all awakening involves awakening beyond the concept that one is entrapped in a physical body in a real physical world. So you, as divine essence, are energy and consciousness and presence and vast and limitless of being. So how can you be confined to a body? I love the statement from A Course in Miracles. I am not a body. I am free, for I remain as God created me. But we are spirit. No body can contain us. We are the holy emanation of God. That's the truth. So we try and try and try to figure out what to do. What's happening? Who knows? Who can I run to? What oracle? What ancient prophecy? What soothsayer? What clairvoyant? What New Age channel can I run to find out what's happening? And you know, each one will make up a story. Oh, this is happening. This Stargate is opening. And on this date, this great event will occur. And we're all going to ascend on a certain date. And, you know, all of these stories that the separated mind, the separated mind makes up. And all the while, nobody really knows what's going on. Because you know what? In highest truth, nothing's going on. Nothing happened. Nothing ever separated you from the all that is. You are Sat Chit Ananda, eternal being, eternal existence, omniscience, and ever-flowing joy. And creativity. But no, we identify with the ego's lies that we're limited and subject to birth and death and disease and aging and suffering, and we're trapped in a body and a totally meaningless, insane world that we've bought into and keep projecting out of our own mind the consequences of our own identifications. You see, when we identify with a world, with a worldview, with a, let's say, a state of reality, it then plays back as your actual experience. That's why you can ask so many people, what kind of, you know, what kind of world do you live in? How does the world look to you through your lens of consciousness? And everybody will tell you a different world, because the world doesn't leave your mind. The world that you see does not leave your mind. It's all in your mind as an interpretation. Now, collectively, we are experiencing a world of our collective subconscious mind. Yeah. But the good news is it's left no real effect. Oh, temporarily, you'll have the dreams, the dream episodes of experiences that are painful and seem to jeopardize you and harm you and so forth and so on. But as the Avatar Sai Baba has told us, the time will come when the whole of this universe will be seen to have been a mere dream. That it is absolutely nothing in comparison to the grandeur of the soul. That one soul has the power to illuminate all of creation throughout infinity. And he really gives you a high mark to reach in terms of realization. Both Jesus and Sai Baba are absolutely uncompromising in teaching the truth and the reality of who and what we are eternally. And they point out that ideas leave not their source. And so we are ideas of love and love's extension and love sharing within the mind and heart of God, who, according to the Vedas, said, "I am alone with not to know my love. Let me therefore become many, that I might enjoy the impartation and receiving of love." That, according to the Vedic wisdom, is the reason that we're here. The Divine Spirit takes a form only for the purpose of communicating love. Otherwise, it's invisible. Your dream form, your Mayavirupa, your illusory physical presentation shows up within the dreams of time, space, solely to share and communicate divine love. The avatar comes from age to age. The avatars come from age to age simply for the purpose of making divine love visible, relatable, and capable of being understood by those who are in bodies or dream they're in bodies. So pay attention to every single time you feel a tremendous sense of joy, a tremendous sense of freedom, an unlimited being, and just enjoy it. But afterwards, realize it came only because you transcended the illusion of bodily identification. For example, when you meditate, when you are intensely absorbed in a sports or an art form or anything that captivates your entire full attention, you do not feel your body. You're not aware of it. Moreover, you're not thinking. You're simply in that which we call presence, present now. You're fully present when that happens. And there's a bliss. There's a bliss in transcending that sense of being in a body or identified with a particular role, a particular thing you have to put out there as yourself, your image, or whatever. Oh, that's an onerous burden. And it keeps you living small, keeps you feeling limited and inadequate, and you know, all the drama we go through trying to make the fiction real. Trying to make this fictitious character, which is the assemblage of many, many memories, experiences, and impressions, samskaras, vrittis, ingrained tendencies, habits, we strung all those together using the illusion of time, which also exists only in the mind. And we call that who we are. And then when we have another serial dream, another IE incarnation, we've totally forgotten. We have no recall of the previous incarnation. We have a new identity, a new life, a new dream. But it's all made of the same stuff. Identifying with impressions made in the consciousness at some level and taken to be the story of your life. Let us tell you, there is no story large enough for your life. There's none. There's no story big enough to define who you are and what you are as divine presence itself. When we were in an interview with Sai Baba, we asked him, if he ever slept, you know, did you sleep? If he's, you know, in full nirvikalpa samadhi, full oneness in the God Self. And he laughed and he said, if I sleep, the whole of creation sleeps. Which again would be right out of the Vedas. So he said that he turns out the lights so devotees won't gather under his window. And he lies in the bed and he reviews all of his past lives and he laughs and laughs. And so we could regard our serial dreams that we have called so-called past lives as our home library, our video library, our whole library of home videos that we're going to enjoy immensely when we awaken sufficiently to look at the Akashic records, when we can really tap into all of those experiences. That's why I've never been very interested in taking photographs and things of that nature, because I know every experience is recorded in the Akasha. Akasha in Sanskrit means space or sky. But it is intensely impressionable, so that every thought, word, deed is impressed in that part of our awareness that we would call the Book of God's Remembrance. Everything is recorded therein. So when we say that you as a separate person do not exist, and we say that no story is big enough to explain your total being, bear in mind that we all enjoy videos, don't we? We all enjoy going to the cinema. We all enjoy stories. And we've had some pretty amazing dreams, haven't we? I.e. past lives. And those that I recall, I enjoy intensely revisiting. The good ones, that is. But you know, when you transcend the whole thing of identifying as the object, as the particular, as the little mini-me, when we stop identifying with that part of ourselves, we realize that everyone is our own self. And we are living through each person. And that's what God consciousness is. So Sai Baba is a perfect example of that, because in the first time in history, we've had an incarnation, a divine incarnation, a full divine incarnation, that we were able to approach and talk to directly and ask questions of. One recognized in his own time as a divine incarnation. That didn't happen in the case with Jesus. That didn't happen in the case with Krishna. That didn't happen in the case of Rama or any of the previous avatars or in the case of Buddha. There was always that veil of the sense of separation from the divine that diluted the perception of the people at that time. And, you know, so the story could be unfolded the way it unfolded. The divine play, the Leela, could be manifested in that particular scenario. But with Sai Baba, it was different. He said that many who came to him in the early, early years were yogis that had prayed for lifetimes to have a vision of God. And that by our coming to him, that desire was fulfilled. I remember my friend was sitting in the bhajan hall, the mandir, and had her eyes closed. She was meditating. And Sai Baba came up and put his face right up under, almost touching hers. And she opened her eyes and she said, "Swami, I was meditating." And Baba said, "But I'm here." I'm here, you know. I had a similar experience. I was sitting in the mandir, intensely engrossed in reading the Bible. All my life I had wanted really to know about Jesus and about what really happened at the time of his incarnation and all of that. And I was so intensely absorbed in reading the Bible that Sai Baba walked up and down the little carpet that separates the men and the women's side with his hands behind his back. Periodically, he would bend over and look up into my face. I was oblivious to it. Later, you know, some people that were watching, they said, "What were you doing?" I said, "What do you mean, what I was doing?" They said, "Sai Baba walked back and forth and back and forth and looked right up into your face, and nothing distracted you from whatever you were doing. What were you doing?" I said, "Well, I was reading the Bible." Later, I felt terrible. I thought, "Oh my God, you know, I was so stuck in the dead letter of the word that I missed the living word that was standing right next to me." And then I thought, well, nothing happens without the will of God. Nothing happens. Nothing happens, Sai Baba said, without his will. I thought, well, he made me act like that. For what reason? For what reason? And I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I absolutely flunked realization at that point, or awareness. If that was like my finest moment of unawareness. Or if I had become actually so one with the Lord, because that was what I was reading about in the Bible, that when the Lord stood beside me, I felt no difference in the vibration. There was no difference between the Lord, the Christ, that I was completely merged with through reading the Bible at that moment, and the one standing in the physical form. So only he knows what really happened. But I'm just sharing an experience that I had. I also one time was in extreme physical pain, with a condition that was so painful that just to have the air moved around, you know, with someone passing through the room would cause me to cringe in agony. And I found that the only relief I had, this was many years ago, was to hold my focus at the third eye. If I held my focus at the tisratil, the tenth door, the seat of the soul, at the third eye and in the center of the head, I transcended pain. I felt no pain. So for the 2 months that I was lying on my back, going through this painful situation, I kept my focus at that third eye to survive, you know, to be able to transcend the pain. So I offer that to those of you who may be in extreme physical pain. If you can bring your focus up to the third eye, and if you have a mantra, which I do and did, repeat it and keep your focus there. Why mantra? The mantra gives the mind something to focus on. The mind has to have something to focus on. Otherwise, it wanders. So the mind is very happy if you give it the name of God to repeat. And then it leaves you alone. You can transcend the mind and go into the soul, which is what I did. So what I'm saying is that every single time you transcend the body through focusing within your own divine self, within the center of your skull, which is the, well, to be very esoteric, I'll share this with you. The Christ within is crucified on the cross of time-space. It dies to body consciousness, becomes one with the Father, and resurrects to eternal life in the center of your skull. Golgotha, the place of the skull. See, Jesus within the dream field reenacted what happens internally to each one of us as, to quote him, we cross out the I. We cross out that sense of separated selfhood on the cross of time and space, or life and manifestation, which would be the life would be the descending part of the cross. Manifestation would be the sidebar. So in that esoteric sense, and Sai Baba described this to us in an interview, it was very interesting, of how each one of us crucifies that sense of separation, that lower self, that God-denying part of the mind that keeps saying, oh, you're not worth anything, you can't be divine, look at all your faults, look at all the things you've done wrong. You're a miserable, lowly sinner. You're going to hell in a handbasket. You know, all of those lies that false self keeps telling us are crossed out and crucified, and the Christ transcends and becomes one with the Father. And we don't have to go through the outer crucifixion as Jesus did. But we still have to cross out that ego to be born the Christ. And I had so many experiences when I was with Sai Baba. I relived my dream life in Palestine. He kept changing into Christ. His form would change. I was in a completely altered state. The whole of the ashram, which it, in those early, early days in the late 60s, early 70s, when I first came to Baba, they transformed into Palestine. I used to go to the well to draw water. And suddenly Sai Baba would come out, and I would drop the bucket, and I'd run and throw myself at his feet, as I'm certain I must have done hundreds of times when I was with Jesus. And I was alone a lot in the ashram then. I was the only Westerner for certain periods of time. In fact, all of the Westerners at that time were like maybe six, not counting me. And I stayed for 4 months, my first trip. And I relived every moment. And the trauma of the crucifixion of Christ. Terrible trauma. I cried and cried and sobbed and cried. I thought I was going to have cheek erosion by the time I left the ashram 4 months later. And I had so many questions. I was an American woman coming from Santa Barbara. I was a wife. I was a mother. I didn't want to go to India and become a Hindu. I didn't want to learn a, you know, different religion and different stuff. I wanted to know about Jesus. Did he really resurrect from the dead? What was he like? And I knew Sai Baba would know. And what was interesting, I never got a chance to ask all those questions I'd listed down, every one of them about Jesus. But during the time I was there, the course of miracles was being dictated to Helen Schuckman. 7 years, that course was being dictated. And Sai Baba said he inspired that course. That he was the author of that course that was given by the one he considers his son, Jesus. And so you might say it's a father and son collaboration, because Sai Baba, as the avatar, was an embodiment of the divine principles that we know as Father, Mother, God. That's what the name means. Sai is divine mother, Baba's divine father. Satya is truth. So we have true mother, father, God in the name Satya Sai Baba. But it's amazing to be with a person that is totally omniscient and totally omnipresent and totally omnipotent. That is present everywhere with everyone at the same time and identifies as being each one of us. That's the God-conscious state. He experiences himself as each one of us. We're incarnations of that one Paramatma, that one divine spirit. So anyway, I went through that serial dream of that lifetime. And then the next trip, I completely relived a serial dream as an Indian worshiper of Shiva, with all the Hindu paraphernalia and all of that. And I relived that life and the experiences that I had under that particular valence. Because you see, every religion is purposed by the one God so that there is an approach that's appropriate at each stage of our development. Sai Baba said that all religions should be honored and respected if they honor love. If they're based on love, then they're good. Then they're, you know, we should, as best we can, be good Christians, be good Muslims, be good Buddhists, be good Hindus, whatever our faith is. But there comes a time when you realize they're all one. And again, you transcend the need for training wheels. You transcend the need to have a little fence around your belief system. And as they say in the Bible, you become a mighty oak along the river of life that flows from the heart of God. And you give shade and sustenance to all. You become a tree of life, no longer bound to books and doctrines and dogmas and feeling your religion or your guru or your teacher or your path is better. They're all the same. They all have truth in them. And they all have the misinterpretations placed on them by people, as Baba says, who pile commentaries upon commentaries until everything swells into a huge mess. So we are the living Word of God. We are actually the living Scripture of God. It's encoded even in ourselves. They have found that there is a cross inside each one of us. The heart and the various systems of the body are calibrated to the mantra, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sivayot, Melo Kol Haaretz Kevodo. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are filled with thy glory. Your very heartbeat is calibrated to that divine mantra. The whole of the body, the illusion that it appears to be, is divinely encoded in every single cell. In every single cell, the center point of light is the Christ. So we have Christ within, Christ without, Christ to the right, Christ to the left, Christ above, Christ below. What is the Christ? The living love. The uniquely begotten. The holy beloved of God. Which is you and me and everyone. In potential. Until we crucify the ego and cross it out and die to that lesser self and merge with the Father and resurrect to immortal life. So again, within the dream scenario, it involves a transfiguration of the carbon-based molecule into the silicone, into the diamond, which many say is taking place now. That we're being transformed, reworked, reborn to a new level of life, in which the Christ appears through each of us as we exit the closet of personal selfhood, of the little mini-me, of the part that feels inadequate. Well, you are. If you're identified with a personal ego, you're completely inadequate. You're completely limited. Because you're a fictitious character in your own mind. So when you die to the self, the little self, the petty, mean, critical, judgmental, angry, upset, crazy little ego self. And you identify with the divine self that you've always been. And you learn to agree with God's voice within you rather than the ego. And you begin to think like God and see like God and be like God. And then all you see from that transformed mind is the face of love, is the glory of God, is the face of the Christ. Wherever you look, you see the perfection that has always been there, just simply occluded by the belief in separation. Which then, of course, gives rise to tremendous upset and agitation, which then blocks further seeing. So let's calm our minds. Let's entrain the mind on the name of God. Whatever it is for you, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Sai Ram, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Lord and Savior. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hu. Anai Hu. Sitaram, Sitaram. Om. Aham Brahmasmi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Narayanaya. Soham. All the names of God are of the one and only divine. Your name is also a name of God. Holy, holy, holy. Are you, beloved of the Lord? My beloved teacher, John Roger, just before he passed away, had one last message for us that he posted, or somebody posted for him on Facebook. It was, be good. Be holy. You see, goodness is our nature. Holiness is what we are. The Course in Miracles has a beautiful lesson. There is nothing my holiness cannot do. You see, your holiness is the God force, is the power that intervenes, that intercedes, that causes us to transcend all of our human inadequacies or imagined human inadequacies. It gives us the power to walk on water, to manifest whatever we think of. To raise the dead, to heal the sick. Do you know there's a group Well, there's probably now many groups in Africa where children have raised so many people from the dead, they've lost count. Little children. They have restored the sight to blind people with a simple prayer and a touch of their little hands. They manifest what they need through faith because they have no money. And if God doesn't show up, they don't eat. But God always shows up. What is that? It's the manifestation of absolute trust in the all-sufficiency of the divine. They don't look to anyone else but the Lord. You can look them up. They're called Iris Ministries in Mozambique, Africa. Just as one example of the power of a child that is completely, absolutely, 100% relying on God. Didn't Jesus say that such is the kingdom of heaven when he gesticulated to a little child? Oh, we have to lay aside our human cleverness that thinks we know what's going on. No one knows what's going on, because everyone, practically with very few exceptions, believes they are a physical body in a real world, and all this nonsense going on is actually real and actually happening. Oh, my Lord in heaven, aren't you grateful to know none of this is real, none of this has ever happened? It's all been a series of dark dreams from which we are awakening. We don't have to fight the darkness. We just need to recognize the light that we are. And in the presence of an illumined being, there is no shadow of darkness. There is no shadow of darkness or fear in the mind and heart of one who has fully received the Christ, who has truly received the Self with a capital S. So take a deep breath and open yourself up. Raise your hands. Raise your arms. And welcome that divine spirit into you. Welcome, divine spirit. Fully inhabit me. Dissolve everything but the love that I am. Open the eyes of my heart that I may see with divine vision, Deva Dristi. Open my ears that I may hear your voice, beloved, and only your voice. And allow me to be an embodiment of your love and a conduit of your grace. And it's done, beloved. Now all you need to do is walk, being vigilant for the things of God and God's kingdom, keeping your eye single and leaving everything else for God to handle. For you, it is a single-eyed vision, keeping your eye single to the things of God, which are within you, the kingdom of God. Is where you have always been and where you remain now and forever. Take a deep breath and integrate what we have shared to your highest rate and highest degree so that it settles gently in your understanding, according to what's appropriate for your highest good at this time. And let's close our seminar by chanting Anahi Hu 3 times. Deep breath. Anahi Hu. Raise your hands and declare, in every situation in which I find myself, there is nothing my holiness cannot do. Blessings and grace to each one of you. Namaste.